a very significant portion of my life's message, and it's a very significant part of your lives, whether you realize it or not at this point. Security in a tangled world. I really labored over this topic as far as which direction to take it, because you can really take this in two real divergent streams almost. And one of them is about the area of just self-image and acceptance, and people accepting you and you accepting people and you realizing that God accepts you. But I feel like there's a more urgent and a real need that I can meet that you can't get somewhere else perhaps at this point. Maybe you have. But if you're really struggling with this thing of personal security with people and everything, I would encourage you to go to the Institute of Basic Youth Conflicts. I would really encourage you to go. That will make a real difference in your life if you'll go. So let's have a word of prayer and then let's get into the message. Father, we thank you that you're our God and that you're sovereign and that you are extremely interested in our lives, in the minutest detail of our lives, and that you're interested in our world, and that you want to see the world come to know you. Father, I pray that each individual in here might hear a word from you, and that I might not be so concerned with a message that I fail to communicate the fact that your heart is burning in mine. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, turn to the book of Romans. Romans 1. And while you're turning there, I want to tell you what security is not. Security is not found in finances. Security is not found in friends. It's not found in family. All these things can help, but that's not where security is found. Security is found in a relationship with a personal God of the universe. That's where security is found. And security is found in the absolutes by which he gave us by which to live. The absolutes. Now that's a key word. I want you to mark that down and remember that word the rest of the evening, because it's an extremely important word, and it's one that we've almost lost today in our vocabulary. Absolute what? Absolutely what? The only absolute of our day, basically, is that there are absolutely no absolutes. Think about that one a minute. It's really true. Well, how did we get into this mess? How did we get into such a tangled world? Well, I think Paul really gives a good assessment of that in Romans 1. And I'll be reading several verses here. Romans 1, 21, beginning with 1, 21, and I'll skip a few. But try to follow with me. Beginning with verse 21 in chapter 1. For even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. And then look over at verse 28 and following. And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do those things which are not proper, being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, malice, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful. And although they knew the ordinance of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, you know, almost giddy. He couldn't believe what happened. And you know, I just almost started crying when I looked at him, because I thought, man, do you have any idea what's in store for you for the next 4 years? And I honestly believe that we may have begun a new era of of that there may not be any more two-term presidents, because the world's problems are so complex. And nobody is going to please the consensus of people because of that. And I am committed to praying for that man, because he has a tremendous responsibility. And we need to pray for him, folks. We really need to pray. Prayer can change things. And we need to pray for that man. And we need to pray for all of our local leaders, our state leaders, and we need to be praying for this campus and the leaders on this campus. Dr. Banowski, we need to be praying for that man. You can have an impact on your world through prayer. What I've done is I've gotten a map of the world and a map of the United States. And every day I pray for the United States, a certain area of the United States, key cities in the states, in certain areas, the West, the Midwest, the East, like that. And I pray several things. Look at Joel 2. Joel 2:17 and 18. Let the priests, the Lord ministers, weep between the porch and the altar, and let them say, spare thy people, O Lord, and do not make thine inheritance a reproach, a byword among the nations. Why should they among the people say, where is their God? Then the Lord will be zealous for his land and will have pity on his people. That is one thing I pray daily. Spare thy people, O Lord, that we might not become a reproach, a byword among the nations. And they will say, where is their God? Thought that was a Christian nation. And then 2 Chronicles 7:14. Look that up. Second Chronicles 7:14. In the King James it says, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will heal, forgive their sin and will heal their land. See, God promises that. If we will humble ourselves and pray and seek God's face and turn from our wicked ways, God will hear and heal our land. Now, friends, our land is wounded, in case you haven't noticed, and it needs a giant healing. So pray for America. And the third thing, and I want you to hear me, I'm nearly through. I'm going to be through early, so hang with me here, okay? Be encouraged. This is the most important thing you can do. Purpose to begin living by convictions. You purpose in your heart tonight to begin developing convictions, and you live by those things. Live by them. Now, do you know what a conviction is? A conviction is a belief that's based on principles of Scripture which I uphold no matter what the cost. No matter what the cost, I believe this. This I believe, and I will not compromise on this. See, that is why people are pouring into the Mormon church. You know why? Because they have a list of rules. Do this, do that, do this, don't do that. And people are dying to have some kind of a frame of reference, some kind of value system. You see what you've got here? In Christianity, is you've got limits. You have limits on your life. You do not have ultimate freedom. That is a lie from Satan.
you do not have ultimate freedom. You don't have freedom to choose everything. Well, you do. You can have freedom, and you know, you're free to jump off this building and break your neck, you see, but your freedom has ended as soon as you step off that building, you see, and you are trapped on a downhill plummet. And when you choose ultimate freedom, that's what you choose, is destruction. So God intended us to have limits. But you see, humanism says, I will rule. Humanism says, I begin with myself, there is no God, and so I establish my own set of values, and they're all relative, so your values can be different, and yours can be different, and yours can be different. And so in California today, you can go up and share the gospel with somebody, and they'll say, man, that is so neat, I'm so glad you found that. But that's not for me. That's really cool, but that's not for me. You know, I've got Buddhism. That's cool. Well, that's great, except that God says in Proverbs 14, 12, and 13, he says, there is a way which seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Even in laughter, the heart may be in pain, and the end of joy may be grief. Some things are very clear. There are principles that you need to live by and not compromise. But now let me show you, that. Let me try to illustrate what happens in this. Many things, we develop our values in many ways, but the average person is affected, and this is the way the culture went. First art went, that was affecting values, and then drama, and then literature, and music, and theology, and the mass media, and then the general culture. And all these things were developing people's values, and they still are. All these things are coming together to develop people's values. And there are some other things that are involved in that. Things like friends, and along this line right here, mass media. I think one of the best movies that I ever saw, at least in part, which illustrated this, was the movie Network. The movie Network. Remember, you know, I'm mad as hell and nobody, you know, what is it? I'm fed up, I'm mad as hell and what is it? What was it? Do you remember? And I'm not going to take it anymore, right? Okay. So, people, what they were not going to take anymore was the fact that their whole lives, they were TV people. They were TV people. Their values were merely TV. And when they came into a situation, they responded like their favorite hero. So consequently, I remember a few years ago seeing a whole carload of junior high girls, and they all got out and they all had their hair done just like Farrah Fawcett, you know? You know, and that was the ideal, you know? And I remember one time, Zsa Zsa Gabor was on a talk show. She came in and she said, I can't remember which one it was, but anyway, maybe, let's say it was Mike Douglas. He's not around anymore. He said, Zsa Zsa, what do you think it takes to have a good marriage? You know, Zsa Zsa Gabor has been married about five or six times now. But you know, he asked for that in all seriousness. And you know, she gave some kind of a stupid, asinine answer. But you know what? Nobody realized it was stupid and asinine because they didn't know what the Word of God said. And so people clapped, you know? And I thought to myself, you know, a bunch of those people are going to write down in their value system, this is what it takes to have a good marriage. Zsa Zsa said it, you know? You tell me the culture is not affecting us. The mass media is not affecting what you think. I mean, Chevrolet is advertised by Disco today, you know? Star bars, disco, you know, everything is disco set off by one movie. You know what I'm talking about? Now, if this is where your values are coming from, you are going to be simply subject to whatever the culture is saying at the moment. And you see, this is moved into our judicial branch, and it is causing terrible things to happen in our judicial. Because you see, what's the standard? The standard is the standard of the day. It's not the Word of God. Did you know that our legal system is based, they say because in Leviticus 19:11 it says this. If you look at the old legal documents, that's what it says, because, you know, this shall be prohibited because, you know, Scripture says this. That's what our nation was based on. Our value system was the Christian consensus, and that is eroded. So what we need to do is begin to get into the Word of God and begin to filter through and test all these things. You see, all truth is God's truth. And so you can test these things about whether they are true or not by what the Word of God says about it, not what your culture says about it. Let me tell you one. You want me to stir you up a little bit just before we quit? How about the issue of women? You know? How about the issue of women? What does Scripture say about women? It says, wives, be subject to your husbands, even as Christ was subject to the church. Now, friends, that was not cultural. The reason why I say it's not cultural is because the analogy was Jesus Christ and the church. And that is an eternal, and that's the test of all cultural things. Is it an eternal truth or is it a cultural truth? Well, that is an eternal truth. A husband was designed to be the authority in the home. Now, everybody's getting stirred up. You see, you've been listening to TV. You haven't been listening to the Word of God. The Word of God clearly teaches on that. It's very clear. And there are hundreds of things. Now, I want you to test yourself. I want you to go through and start reading in Scripture and see how many things start bothering you, start churning your stomach, you know. And you'll find out whether you have adopted values of the media or whether you are adopting values that are based on this. This is the desperate need in our country because, you see, values are what set goals in life. And goals are what affect your way of life. And your way, and all of this, the ultimate question here is whether there's going to be a destruction or a salvation of the nation. That is the issue. I mean, we're not playing around with something that's just going to affect you. See, sin has consequences. The fruit thereof may not show up till later on. So I want you to really consider the importance of the Word of God in your life as you're beginning to develop values, and I want to challenge you to begin to develop convictions by which you live. Let's bow for prayer. Father, you know that it's really difficult for me to speak on something that's really doesn't have a lot of instruction as far as what to do about something. And Lord, it's hard for me to just get down on people. And Lord, I just pray that anything that is not of you and is not of your Spirit, that those things will be forgotten tonight. But Lord, I pray that we would not be like the man that you spoke of in the book of James, who was not a doer of the word, but merely a hearer.
and he deluded himself, and he looked at himself in the mirror and then walked away and totally forgot what he was like. Father, I pray that each one of us would remember what we've seen in the mirror. God, I pray that we could turn our nation and raise up families who love you and are living by the absolutes of the Word of God. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.